Welcome to the ICFM Leadership Podcast, where we focus on empowering, equipping, and leading. We pray this message will bless and inspire you.
Hello, this is Bishop Tom Brown here in El Paso, Texas, and I want to welcome all of our ICFM members and friends. And I am trusting that this podcast is going to be so eye-opening, it's going to be so revolutionary, that it's really going to change your life for the better. And so I thought about these 20 minutes that I have to share with you, and I want to make it productive. I was reading something that Kenneth Hagin Sr. said one time. He said, in order to be successful in the ministry, you just simply need to be led of the Spirit. Well, you know, that is so simple, yet it's so profound. And when you really think through it, you realize how true that is. If, as a minister, if you'll just be led of the Spirit, then how can you be a failure? Because the Holy Spirit would never lead you or guide you into a place of failure. He's always going to lead you into the place of eventual success. You might have to go through some things, but he's going to eventually cause your ministry to be far more fruitful and productive. Now, friend, before you decide to turn me off and say, okay, all right, Bishop Tom's going to talk about how to be led of the Spirit. I know the teaching. I've read Kenneth Hagin's books. I have preached on it myself numerous occasions. I know it. And I know it might seem presumptuous for me to be talking about this, but trust me, I'm going to share something brand new, hot off the press, that most likely you have not heard. I'm not here to rehash some of the teachings you've already had before, but I'm here to open your eyes to some thoughts about being led of the Spirit that I think many in the body of Christ do not know. And they actually have got it wrong on how the Spirit guides us. So please open up your heart and get ready for something new, something thought-provoking, and I think it's going to help you. Because here's the thing. If you think that the Holy Spirit is leading you to do A, and he's not, then when you do A, you're going to be frustrated and can't figure out why it's not working. And I know it's easy to say, well, I know how to be led of the Spirit. I go by the inward man, the inward intuition. No, friend, it's more than that. And this has been the problem with the body of Christ. They thought it was just an inward witness. I just need to follow what I think the Lord wants me to do. And that inward witness is the guidance of the Spirit. Not always. And this has been the problem. And I've seen so many people recently, in the last probably 6 months or so, maybe longer than that, I've seen so many Christians veer off direction. And I'm thinking, I don't understand why they're doing this. I keep thinking, I said, the Lord's not guiding them to do this. Well, I mean, I could see it so clearly. And then, of course, they shipwreck their faith and they ruin it. When you think about it, there's a lot of ministries in times past that used to be very successful, but they believed God was guiding them to do something. One very famous minister thought he found the key to financial prosperity, and that is he encouraged his listeners, his followers, to give a $1,000 vow. And that became the thrust of his ministry. At first, he was bringing in so much money, but eventually it shipwrecked his faith. But yet he believed with all of his heart God was guiding him to do that. But he was wrong. Now, there are sometimes we think God is guiding us into doing something. We're sincere about it, but we're sincerely wrong about it. So we need to find out, how does the Holy Spirit lead us? What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? Are you ready for something that's going to shock you? Here in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Now, that's a passage. We all as believers have the privilege of being led by the Spirit. The key to understanding the word led is to look in the Greek word, which is the word ago, A-G-O. You know, I never heard anyone preach on this until my wife preached on it. And when she preached on it a few years back, man, it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I wondered, how in the world could I have missed it? See, we talk about being led by the Spirit, but we don't even talk about what that word led means. And it's the Greek word ago, A-G-O, which is, now listen, it is the root word for agony. For agony. Do you remember, do you believe Jesus was being led by the Spirit to go to the cross? Well, of course he was, Bishop. But did his flesh want to do it? You said, no, obviously his flesh didn't want to do it. Of course he didn't want it. In fact, did he not pray three times that he wouldn't have to do it? So he was, and he was in, the Bible says he was in great agony. Why was he in agony? Because the Holy Spirit was leading him to do something his flesh did not want to do. Now, I bring this up because I think many Christians, including ministers, believe that to be led by the Spirit means you simply follow the desires of your heart. If you have a desire to do something, then we assume God is speaking to us because we have a desire to go and be a minister. We have a desire to travel to this country. We have a desire maybe to write a book or to preach this sermon. There's a desire on our part to do something. So we often interpret those desires as being the inward witness. But friend, when Jesus was going to the cross and being led by the Spirit to go to the cross, he wasn't having any desire to do it. In fact, his desire was completely opposite of going to the cross. He didn't want to do it. So he agonized. What I have learned, my brothers and sisters, is when the Holy Spirit truly is leading us, we are most of the time going to agonize about it. It's just normal. We're going to agonize. We're going to struggle with it because our flesh doesn't want to do it. Now, here's the point. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us because we have the flesh, the unrenewed mind, the carnality of desires, other motivations, maybe to make money, to find love, whatever the motivations might be. And because we have the mind that's not fully renewed, we have the flesh, we have the carnal desires, we have influence of motivations all around us, it is easy to then interpret those desires that you have as being God. But the reason why the Holy Spirit had to come into your life is because he knows you need someone greater than your own carnality and your own desires and your own motivations. You need the Holy Spirit to come in and truly guide you in the direction that you need to go into. And it's not always fun to do this. And my point is, Jesus, he himself, of course, did not want to go to the cross, but the Holy Spirit led him. Now, that's one example. See, so if for example, you meet someone who says, man, I want to be a minister. Really? Why? Man, I just feel like I could preach good, and I just feel like I would build a great church, a build big ministry. And maybe in their mind, they won't tell you, but maybe I'll have a good livelihood. Yeah, it'll be a good life, you know? And they're excited about it. There's a good chance God's not leading them. Because when I read in the Bible, people who were being led by God to do God's will, especially to go into the ministry, I find over and over again a reluctancy on the part of everyone. How about Moses? When God was guiding him, and he told him in a clear, audible voice, he sees a fire on the mountain, and he hears a voice saying, go and set my people free. And what did Moses say? Oh, I can't wait to be famous. I can't wait to do this. No, he says, send my brother. In other words, Moses was reluctant because when God leads you, there's an agony inside of your heart. And if there's not an agony, there's probably something wrong on what you're feeling at this moment. It's really probably not God. How about Jeremiah when God told him, I've called you to be a prophet? And what did Jeremiah say? I'm too young, Lord. You see, his excuse, he's making an excuse. I don't want to do it. But he agonized, and the word of God was shut up in his bones, and finally says, Lord, I cannot help it. And he even blamed God for making him be a minister. But Jeremiah wasn't happy to do it. How about Isaiah, when God called him to be in the ministry? He made an excuse. He said, Lord, send someone else. I live among a people of unclean lips. I myself have unclean lips. And of course, you know, God took the coal from the altar, touched his mouth and said, now I've cleansed you. Now go preach. What's your excuse? My point is this. Was Isaiah happy to go preaching? No. But was God leading him? Yes. But was there an agony inside of him The answer is yes. How about Jonah? When God spoke to him and said, go preach to Nineveh. Did he want to go preach? No, he ran from the calling. He got on a ship headed to Tarshish. He did not want to preach. And then, of course, God arrested his attention, made it clear to him, and finally he was willing to obey after being swallowed by the whale. My point is this. He wasn't excited about doing that. He was agonizing about it. And how about the Apostle Paul when God told him, I want you to go to Jerusalem and then to Rome? Was he leaping at that moment? No. But Paul said it this way, compelled by the Spirit, I went. Compel. When we think of compel, we think of some sort of pressure, some sort of pushing. I grew up in the Word of Faith, and I heard pastors, my pastor even said, that when the Holy Spirit guides you, you'll never feel any push. It will be gentle. And one of the pictures he gave us is the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus as a dove. And so that's gentle. Here's a funny story. About 20 years ago in our neighborhood, we had a bird that was attacking all of us when we went to go get our mail. And that bird landed on our head, just as the dove landed on Jesus' head. And I can tell you, it was anything but gentle. People were going out there with bats and tennis rackets. It was not a gentle experience that any of us had. Okay, but that's what I was told. He's gentle. He doesn't compel us. He doesn't push us. That is not true. And that's what I had been taught. But if the Holy Spirit is leading you, my brother, my sister, you're going to feel a compelling force and you're going to find your flesh is not going to like it. Now, consider Jesus. The Bible says he was led, Matthew 4:1, we're talking about being led. We're tracing this word led and seeing how the leading works. Matthew 4:1, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Number one, whoever wants to go into a lonely, dry desert? None of us. Notice he was not led to go to Hawaii. Some of you say, I just feel led to go to this Hawaii. I feel led to go to all these really nice resorts. Well, friend, you don't need to be led to go to Disneyland. Your mind, your flesh, and your kids will help lead you. See, but to go into wilderness, he needed the Holy Spirit to lead him. And who would ever want to go meet the devil himself? I know I wouldn't. Yet, that's the point. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, a dry place, to be tempted by the devil. Not only to meet the devil, but to go through a temptation. Who would ever be led on purpose to go through testing? You know who was? Jesus. You know who else? The Apostle Paul. When he was led to go to Jerusalem and on to Rome, people were warning him, don't do it. You're going to be filled up. They're going to persecute you. They're going to bind you. The Jews in Jerusalem, they're going to bind your hands. They're going to bind your feet. You're going to be a slave. What did Paul say? I know the Lord has warned me that everywhere I go, I will face persecution. But he says, but I'm compelled by the Spirit to go. So he was already knowing he's going to go through some rough patches, but God is leading him. And wow, was that a smart decision? He went to Rome. And what happened? If you know, most of you know Christian history, Rome became the center focus of the spread of Christianity in the Latin world. Then Paul was also led to go to Macedonia, which became the catalyst for the gospel to be preached to the Greek-speaking people. Paul was led to two places that Christian history shows us was the two most important cities that preached the gospel, Rome and Greece. The two great cities, Athens and But Paul was led by the Spirit to go to both of them. But he had difficulty. There was trials. This is my point. So now, let's go back to Jesus. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. But are you ready for how Mark puts it? I'm reading Mark chapter 1, verse 12, and this is the King James. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. Notice that. The Spirit driveth him. Drive. That is, and in the Greek, it is a very strong word, which means to almost push, to drag, to compel, to make someone do something that their flesh does not want to do. That's the Bible. We all are a word of faith. We believe in the Bible. Then how about this? Believe that when the Spirit leads you, it's going to go contrary to your flesh. I know that personally. When God called me to be a pastor, a minister, actually first it was a minister, then later he showed me I was to start off to be a pastor. And I'll tell you, I didn't want to. I had my plans already set. I was going to college. I was going to go into broadcasting. I had my plans. I had everything. I had the college paid for. My dad was going to pay for it. I was ready. So I struggled. Finally, God hit me and said, when I say he hit me over the head with his words, he said, do I have to give you more signs that I've called you to be a minister? And at that moment, I said, no more, Lord. And I yielded. But did my flesh want to yield? Absolutely not. See, when God guides you, it's not always something you want to do at first. Now, later, God will begin to change your heart so you enjoy doing it. I enjoy pastoring now. I enjoy preaching the gospel. I can't see myself doing anything else that would ever make me this happy. But when I yielded, I didn't think it would make me that happy, but it did. That's how God guides us. He compels us. Some of the great struggles I've ever had in my life was over what I knew was God's direction, but I also saw a path of great problems. And I saw difficulty if I headed this pathway. But I knew that that was the direction I had to go, despite the tests and trials. Even as Paul says, the Lord shows me that through tribulation, I must enter the kingdom. I must do God's will through these testings. And this is my point, is that we have to recognize to be led is not always following your heart's desire. And today you hear people say this, follow your heart. What in the world does that mean? Follow your heart. Well, the heart has some carnal desires too. If I followed my heart, it might lead me to try to make as much money as I can. If I followed my heart, it might lead me into sin. Friend, we can't simply tell people follow your heart. Well, if all we had to do is follow our heart, why did God send the Holy Spirit to lead us then? That's the point. What's the purpose of the Spirit coming if all we are supposed to do is follow our heart? No, it's more than that, friend. It's having that compelling force, the Holy Spirit, not leading you, letting you be content with where you're at, but recognizing you have to follow God's direction. And in the end, God's direction is always the wisdom of God. Now, I want that to soak into your heart. God's direction is always the wisdom of God, but the wisdom of God may seem foolish to men. For my relatives, they thought I was foolish to think that I could be a minister and not be a Roman Catholic. They couldn't understand, how could you ever start your church by yourself? And then they found out I was part of a non-denominational church, so in their mind, they wrote me off. It seemed foolish. But, you know, after all these 38 years, almost all my relatives, if not all, have come around and see that I truly am a minister of the gospel. And they respect me for it. What I'm saying is sometimes things seem foolish. And pastor, sometimes when God leads you, it may seem foolish, but you have this compelling force. And that compelling force is the Holy Spirit. And that is God's wisdom in our life. When Noah was called to build the ark, I'm sure his wife questioned him. She had to. What? His sons must have thought, Dad, this can't be true. But why would he spend so many years of his life building an ark unless he knew God had called him? You see, I remember my mother used to tell me when I started the church, because I was young, she was going to help me. My stepfather will be part of the church. She says, but how long will you give it if it doesn't succeed? And I told my mom, there is no time limit because God has called me to this. And I was willing to make any sacrifices. And that's a sign of a true man or woman of God, willing to make whatever sacrifices. They're not the preacher who says, You know, I'll go to visit your city, but I do demand first class seats. Friend, already it's telling me something wrong. Because God's going to compel you to go to places you don't want to go. And when you hear Kenneth Hagin's story, think about it. All of us are really respectful of Kenneth Hagin Sr. And when you think about his stories, you think about how reluctant he was. He was reluctant to be a prophet. He said, no, they're going to think I'm crazy. I don't want to do it. He was reluctant to preach the word of faith. He was reluctant to preach prosperity. In fact, he even talked to some ministers and said, am I missing it? Because here's the scriptures I found. He was reluctant. And this is the whole point. When we're truly led of the Spirit, the flesh will be reluctant. The flesh will be weak. But the Spirit within us will be strong. And we're going to feel that compelling force. And when we follow God and follow His leading, I'm here to tell you, brother, sister, your ministry will be hugely successful. Follow the leading of the Spirit. Now, Father, I pray for all those listening to this broadcast, this special teaching. I pray that you would touch all of my pastor friends, evangelists, traveling teachers, that you would guide them by the Holy Spirit, and they will be willing to agonize. But as long as they know it is God's direction in their life, in Jesus' name, amen. One last thought has come to me as we prayed. Is one great sign that God is leading you, listen to me, is even though you might agonize about something, you have great faith that in the end, you will be hugely successful. You say, what do you mean you will have great faith? Faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word. So listen, when God speaks to you, you might agonize, but faith will also come and you will know you're on the right direction. Don't do things because people are compelling you. No, you have to have faith that something is going to be successful. Otherwise, if you start to try to do something and in your mind you're thinking, I don't think it's going to work. The moment you say you don't think it's going to work, you know what you've just told me? God hasn't spoken to you. Because when God speaks to you, faith will also come. Will you agonize? Most likely. But will you have faith? And that was me. When I was called in the ministry, I agonized, but I also had faith I would be successful. And all these ministers, whether it's Noah building the ark, he knew he was going to be successful. Where Moses, he knew he was going to be successful. Jeremiah, he knew he was going to be successful. Even though they all agonized, there was faith that came because God spoke. And that's one of the great signs that I look for when God's speaking to me. When someone said, Bishop, you should do this or do that. But if I think of doing that and I don't have confidence of it being successful, that tells me God's not speaking to me. So look for agony and look for faith. And faith is the product of peace. And when peace becomes your umpire, that peace will produce the faith that's in your heart. Because all peace is the emotional side to faith. I trust that this broadcast has been a blessing to you. Please share it with your friends. I love you so much. I look forward to seeing you real soon. God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to the podcast. ICFM is an international fellowship of faith churches and ministries. If you would like more information on our fellowship and what it has to offer, then please visit us online at icfm.org. You can also take advantage of our resources on our ICFM app, available on App Store, Google Play, Amazon, and Roku. We pray God's blessings over you as you continue to lead forward.